Good morning, everyone. This is Jeffy Kennedy, author of Epic Fantasy Romance. I'm here with my first cup of coffee. Ah, oh, so good. Today is Monday, March 18th. And I know that it has been some time since we talked, longer than I predicted. Those of you who are regular listeners know that I had said that I was going to go visit my mom for her birthday and that I would miss that Friday podcast and the Monday podcast. And then I ended up missing the Friday podcast too. So today's episode is about life upheavals and what happened. So I was supposed to fly home on Monday afternoon, but on Sunday, my stepdad of 18 years, stepdad Dave, well, the short of it is that he passed away. And it was both a surprise and not a surprise. He was almost 87 and he had COPD for many, many years and had been struggling with congestive heart failure. Yes, he was a smoker for a very long time. He had quit, quit in his 50s, but his lungs had never quite recovered. And he had been kind of going downhill, but so incrementally that we weren't thinking, oh, he's going to go any day now. But we knew that it would be coming. My mother was the only one who really didn't know that or predict that, because now my mother has been officially widowed three times. He was my third father, second stepfather. And she was really determined to be not widowed a third time. She wanted to predecease him, but the odds were not in her favor with his health. So yeah, it was a thing. It happened on Sunday. It was very quick. Her birthday was on Saturday, and we had a really fun day. The day before that, I took Dave shopping for her birthday presents, so I'm really glad that I got to have that time with him. He couldn't drive anymore. We wouldn't let him drive, and he just couldn't. And he had aphasia and Alzheimer's, and so it was very difficult for him to communicate. So before we left the house, he took me and showed me the old skillets that were burnt and messed up and, you know, showed me that. And I knew by that he meant that that way he would not have to describe to me what he wanted to buy for her. And otherwise, he just directed me up here, turn. And that was great. And she had a great birthday. A lot of her friends called. The three of us went out to dinner that night, and we had a really fun dinner up at the hotel bar, one of their favorite places. And he had a beer with dinner, which he didn't always. A lot of times he would do the non-alcoholic, but this time he had a real beer, and they shared a chocolate torte for dessert. I had creme brulee, but nobody wanted my creme brulee, so, you know, more for me. And the next morning, he was good. He asked me to help him fix a timer for their outside lights. And we talked about that. He was concerned that he wasn't thinking things through as well as he had always done. He was very smart, retired as a full colonel from the Air Force, and had one of the earliest degrees in computer science. He and I always got along very well because me being Leo Virgo cusp and he was full Virgo, you know, we both like to plan schedules and organize things. So he had showed me that timer that he couldn't get it to work. And I told him that it wasn't his fault, that the thing had just tanked. And I knew he was kind of relieved because he hated to think that it was because he couldn't figure out something as simple as a light timer. And I said, well, I'll get a new one while I'm out. And he said, that would be great. And then my mom and I went out to run a few errands. And he, you know, it's a thing, right? Where people talk about, like, what are your last words to somebody? What, all of that kind of thing. And I've never been much of one. In fact, I will go so far as to say that I don't like it when people say things like, hug your loved ones, always make sure that you've told them that you love them and all of that. And I realize why people say that when there's a sudden death, because it's born of regret, right? And it's like, well, what was the last thing I said to them? But the thing is we pass in and out of each other's lives, especially family that we've known for a very long time. You don't even know what you've said. I know that he was sitting at the kitchen counter and he was eating my mom's leftover pork chops from the night before, and he was very happy about it. And I was mildly jealous because if I had known that my mom was not going to eat her pork chops, I would have eaten them. In retrospect, I'm glad he got to have them. Now, letting the cat in the window here. There's a brief window of time in which he can come in and out the window because I don't have the screens on yet. Hi, Jackie boy. I mean, it was a mild thing, right? It's just like, well, damn it, I would have eaten those pork chops because I had had meal regret. Usually I'm a good meal orderer and I had not been happy with my meal. They even took half off of it. Because I only ate half of it. They offered to bring me something else, and by then I was like, "Eh, no, I'll just eat my creme brulee." And so when we came back, I don't know what I said to him. I said something like, "Eating those pork chops, huh?" And he was all happy. And then we went to run our errands, and we were gone maybe an hour, and we came back, and he was in the garage, and I think maybe there was already something going on because we opened the garage door and he was in there, and his eyes looked funny and his face looked funny, and I think maybe he was already low oxygen. He had portable oxygen, and he fell down and we ran to help him and start putting him, got his oxygen for him and all of that, and he was holding my hand and we called 911, and I will tell you all that the movie cliche of 911 telling you how to do chest compressions while you put them on speakerphone is a real thing. Not on my bingo card. And then the paramedics arrived, but I think he was gone while I was doing chest compressions, possibly even before I started, because the dispatch was telling, I said that he was gasping for breath, and the dispatch asked me to say how often. And it was a really long lapse between the previous gasp breath. So for me, that was my first time to see someone die. Also, not on my bingo card. His daughter, my stepsister, was 20 minutes away. She got there, but he was already gone. And I told her on the phone when I called her that I thought he was already gone. But she said that she was glad that I was with him. And I mean, the whole thing was probably less than 10 minutes. I was trying to figure out how long between, us opening the garage door and seeing him in there and the EMTs arriving, which is when I start calling people. So I have like those call times. It was less than 10 minutes. So it's something we talked about a lot, that it's the end all of us would ask for, to be that quick. But it sucks for the people left behind. So I ended up staying the rest of the week. We put together the service really fast. Everything, since I was there, I couldn't leave my mom home alone. And I also didn't want to stay for a lot longer, then go home, then come back for a service. So we met with the funeral home the next day, and we put together, he was wanted to be cremated anyway. So we put together a service on Wednesday because they were booked later in the week. everybody kind of laughs at that, but it was a funeral home in Tucson in an older community, and they were, booked up Thursday through the weekend, but they had an opening on Wednesday. And we, that morning while we were meeting with the funeral home director, who, by the way, was great. They were just wonderful. They took great care of us. And we decided to see if the hotel where we'd had my mom's birthday dinner could put together a reception. And everybody told me it couldn't happen that fast. And it did happen that fast. They were able to do a really lovely reception out on the lawn. So it was a beautiful afternoon. The weather cooperated. So we were out there with the palm trees and open bar. My mom was afraid that no one would come. And I was like, he was much beloved in their neighborhood. And I was like, that plus open bar, people will be there. And they were. And it was a really good celebration of life. And my friend Megan Mulry, the fabulous Megan Mulry, who is starting her own business called MulryStudio.com. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. She stepped up to help, and she proofread and fact-checked the obituary for me really fast so I could get it in. And she put together the program for us. She was even was going to help me with, because David had stayed home. She'd lined up a dog and cat sitter for us and was going to help David get on the airplane. And then David decided it would be better just for him to stay home, that it would be less stressful for him with the Parkinson's and having to travel alone and that kind of thing. So, so that was a thing. And I don't know that I have any profound reflections on it, except that, it's a funny thing because my stepsister believes that, that Dave kind of planned it that way, not that he engineered anything, but that he knew that he wanted to get through my mom's birthday, that he wanted to be there for her for that. And that it was absolutely the best thing that I happened to be right there and that I could be there for my mom and that I could be there to put things together. So, so now I know how to do chest compressions. So that's where I've been all week. And I considered doing a podcast on Friday, and I was just still too emotional then. I mean, this is me less emotional now. So, life happens. And because this is a podcast about being a career author and how do you write and deal with life at the same time, I feel like I should talk about the fact that I've been working on First Order of the Fae Realms. I had been going to Starbucks in the morning and working on it all the way through Sunday morning. And then I did not get anything done on it on Monday and Tuesday. I kind of considered working on it. So I'm trying to go to the spreadsheet. There we go. Does anyone notice that Microsoft 365, since the last Windows update, it's so slow. It's driving me crazy. Life goes on, right? So Monday and Tuesday was a whole lot of getting ready for the service. And that's another benefit to doing the service really fast is we had a lot to do those first couple days. And we did need to do things. That Sunday evening, everybody, after everyone had gone, and they were kind of leaving us alone. So it was just my mom and me, and we were looking at messages from people and all of that kind of thing. And And finally, my mom and drinking, having drinks. And my mom said, well, this is boring. Let's go watch a show. So we went and she's been watching Blue Bloods. So we went and watched that. And yeah. So anyway, so I had been working. I did finish the revision. I was able to work again on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday mornings. Revision is done. I have about 2,500 words to go. So I might be done today, possibly tomorrow, and then we'll send off to Agent Sarah. So, and this is clearly the book that will be dedicated to Dave. Which is funny because I'd already thought I was going to dedicate it to someone else, but there will be other times. I do keep a list of dedications, a spreadsheet, of course, because I have enough books now that I forget who I dedicate each one to. I remember observing with Anne Rice how she always dedicated her books to Stan, her husband, even after he had died. And I can kind of see at the time when I was younger and just a reader, I thought how unimaginative of her. And now I kind of see the point. It's much easier if you dedicate to the same person over and over again. So, life goes on. My mom is figuring out what she's going to do now. People ask me and I say she's trying to figure that out. She wants to stay in that house as long as she can. We already knew that. So now she's looking at living alone. And she said that one thing was for certain is that she was never going to date or marry again. And I said that's absolutely her call. But I did want to mention she said that after my other stepdad died, my first stepdad. She said that. So, life, right? It was interesting because some friends were in town. They snowbird. They rent a house in the same neighborhood as my mom and Dave. And they have been friends with my mom since before I was born. They were, because my dad was also in the Air Force, as many of you know. And they lived on the same Air Force base nearby before I was born. And so Tom and Susan, I called them even while the paramedics were there so that Susan could be there to support my mom. And, you know, it's interesting because their marriage has lasted through three of my mom's, through no fault of my mom's. But it's just funny how these things work. And she's had three really good marriages and, you know, found love over and over again. So, you know, that's a big thing, right? That resilience of that, yeah, you keep on living. And so I'm not going to tell you to go out and embrace your loved ones. I think probably the last words of mine that Dave heard were either about the pork chops, depending on where he was mentally when we got home, or I was asking him if he was able to breathe. But I know he would want my mom to go on, right? Enjoy her life. So that's what I would say if I'm going to throw something up on social media, some sort of hot take on all of this, which I'm not going to do, which is go out and find happiness. So much weeping. Not nearly as much as I was. So, on that note, I'm going to sign off. I'm going to finish this book finally, and I will talk to you all on Friday. You all take care. Bye-bye.